Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the allegedly least corrupt country in the world. Sorry, allergic to bullshit. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel, the driving force behind OccupyCorporatism.com and the US Independent, otherwise known as the USI. That's us. Right? And I think what's happening now in the broader truth community, it's always very specific with somebody's experience and scope, but at the end of the day, it's about letting your sense of truth find your path through behaviors. If you're willing to let ideology get in the way of your search for truth, you're in the wrong movement. And you need to stop that stuff. Suzanne Posel is somebody who sticks to principles and integrity more than anybody I know, which is why she's the only person actually really in the entire truth movement that I kind of like in some degree of officialdom associate with. Welcome to the show. And what have you got for us today?
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I have the Council for National Policy. Have you ever heard of them?
You know what? It rings a bell. The scumbaggery bell. Why is that bell ringing?
It's the missing link. Okay, everybody's looking for a connection between apes and humans. This is the missing link. Back 2 years ago, when I started looking into manufactured revolutions, and it started with the Occupy movement, and it was inspired because I was associated with Occupy Wall Street, even though I just named it Occupy Corporatism, because I saw so much corporatism. Occupation is the proper term. One of the things that I found that always struck me as strange, and I just couldn't understand what it was about, was that the International Republican Institute was involved directly in all of the manufactured revolutions all over the world. And it's the International Republican Institute. So I'm not trying to be partisan here, but why do the Republicans want to start revolutions in countries that end up in stability operations, destabilization, allocation of resources through loans with the IMF and the World Bank, and then the installation of a patsy or a transitional council like they have in Libya and what they're trying to do in Syria? this pattern goes on all across the globe. And when it first springs up, we think, oh, wow, how wonderful. Look at these people. They're fighting for their rights. And we have no idea that the entire thing was manufactured, taking the actual grievances that are completely 100% legitimate of the people against their government, the corporations and the banks who have taken over, and using that to foster these revolutions that end up in stability operations, allocation of resources, massive amounts of debt, and then a controlled patsy or transitional council. So someone brought to my attention the Council for National Policy. And for me, this was the missing link. And I saw an interview with Charlotte Iserby, who I respect greatly. So I watch everything that she does. And she was talking about the Council for National Policy. And the person who was interviewing her, who will remain nameless, was trying to divert her to another kind of conversation. And even made some statements like, you might find this hilarious, that the CFR started out good and then got co-opted. But they had good intentions when they started.
Isn't that what they all say?
You know, here's the funny thing. Ludwig von Mises was...
Well, this doesn't sound good right away.
It's just... this is an example, folks, of what I just said. Ludwig von Mises was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation to come to the United States and continue his research. Well, at some point, his funding was cut off. And the Ludwig von Mises Institute explains that as his, his direction and ideology was too radical for Rockefeller, and so he quit the funding.
Apparently Rockefeller hated Mises to pieces.
Exactly, but here's the funny kicker that nobody... Here's the other side of it. Like I was saying, the day after the revolution, here's the day after that story, because it keeps going, folks. There's no period. There's a comma. They just don't tell you that there's a comma. So Ludwig von Mises actually lost his funding, quote-unquote, the same time he gained a professorship at New York University. Interestingly, he was never paid directly by the university. His money came from private donors. And it was that way until 1969, I think it was, when he retired. So who actually paid a salary there? Did Rockefeller stop funding him? I don't know. Just interesting.
You know, there's no such thing as an interesting coincidence if there isn't some kind of scumbaggery involved here. You know, in general.
Absolutely.
So what have they done wrong? I mean, literally, you're talking about the missing link. Are we talking about a policy organization that more or less writes the rule book by which people screw over each other and manage it in a nice, fashionable way so that they can be the black hole in the middle of it, sucking up all the money and the energy and resources and power over human life, and wind up the victors when we all wind up slaves or dead?
These are the people who write the propaganda for the Republican, the red team, from the GOP Republicans all the way down to the right-wing conspiracy theorists. They are the ones who write the plot lines and the information storylines and the perspective in which we are supposed to take on every issue that comes in front of us. From the top all the way down to the bottom, crazy tinfoil hat wearing, quote unquote, kind of people. Now,
they frame the debate, in other words, in every single sector.
Absolutely. Listen to this. In 1981, the same year that Ronald Reagan was elected, which is interesting because everybody misses the Reagan years. You know, Reagan was the best president that ever lived, and blah, blah, blah. That same year, Reverend Tim LaHaye, who is the co-author of the Left Behind series, founded the Council for National Policy. The heaviest donor to create this 501c3 nonprofit corporation, not organization, it's still a corporation, was Reverend Sun Myung Moon, who in the 1980s, oh, you were born in the 1980s.
He wasn't the guy who came up with the famous sauce, the cream of some young guy.
No, no, this is even crazier. This gentleman believes that he is the second coming of Christ, that Jesus didn't fulfill everything that he was supposed to come down here to do, and Sun Myung Moon is the embodiment of the fruition of everything that Jesus left behind. So on Capitol Hill in the late 90s, Sun Myung Moon was coronated by senators, congressmen, members of the CNP, and they all gathered on Capitol Hill, in our Capitol, to literally place a crown on this gentleman's head and crown him savior of the world. People like Tim LaHaye.
What do you mean, like literally savior of the world? Did he get like a medal?
No, he got like a crown, and he was wearing a red and white bordered robe and a crown, a big crown that kind of puffed out.
Well, you mean like a robe with a big fluffy collar like pimps wear?
Yes, yes.
That sounds massively awesome.
It was exposed even in mainstream. They had footage from the ceremony, and you could see everybody that was there. And some of the congressmen and senators were actually part of the ceremony entourage. So they were wearing special tuxedos with gloves. Okay. And some of them that showed up when this was exposed came out and said, well, we didn't know it was a coronation ceremony. We thought we were just going to a meeting and we were all going to talk about policy. And when we got there, we were shocked. But I don't think that that's true. So.
I got in my white gloves and my Masonic apron to a thing that's a totally exclusive for only a whole bunch of people from across different sectors of society. And we have some dude with a crown and everything of that nature being the center point of attention. Oh, I was just there by accident, you know? That's like, I don't know, I saw an episode of the LEG show and he said, I went to France, got lost and wound up at the Cannes Porno Festival. You know, he just shrugs his shoulders and, you know, how could that happen? You know, see?
Exactly. They took a wrong turn and they ended up at this coronation ceremony and they were bored, so they went ahead and went inside.
Bullshit. Yeah, no, it's like, sorry. What are we going to do, man? Stand around here and smoke cigarette? No, let's go inside and do a little ceremony here. I mean, it might not be our color, our taste, but let's just walk on in there and totally support it anyway. Because after all, they pay for my child's education and everybody else's enslavement. So, you know, I better not get in their way.
Yes, pretty much. Now, it's very important for people listening to understand the Christians are being targeted specifically by this group. It's no coincidence that Reverend Tim LaHaye, who is huge in evangelical Christian circles, the Left Behind series is enormous. And Kirk Cameron, if you remember, did the movie version. He played the main character in the movie that was produced by, I think, TBN or CBN, which is Pat Robertson, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and everyone on there, CNP members. Okay, so let's go into the other founding members who ponied up some money to make sure that the CNP got off the ground. The same year that Reagan was or took office, January 20th, 1981, Paul Weinrich, who is the Christian conservative political organizer and co-founder of the Heritage Foundation. You're going to see a lot of members of the Heritage Foundation. And the Heritage Foundation is huge in the alternative movement, even to the extent that some people who offer complimentary pocket constitutions.
Whoa. Just let me get this straight. This dude does that for a living, and his name is Weinrich. Rick Schultz or Richard, which is shortened again to Dick, so he's a whining dick, and he got this job. You know, tell me there isn't some very comedic god at work here. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
No, And I'm going to go through some names here that are probably going to shock you. They did me. Nelson Baker Hunt, who is the son of H.L. Hunt, the oil billionaire. And these are the people, and Eric...
Was that any relation to Mr. Michael Hunt?
No. And Eric Prince, who is the founder of Blackwater, his mother also financially contributed to the CNP getting off the ground. So we have Reverend Mooney, who is the crowned the savior of the world, who believes that he's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. This is the guy who ponies up the most to fund this group. And then subsequently the Heritage Foundation and H.L. Hunt, oil billionaire, and then the mother of the founder of Blackwater, the Academy, okay, mercenary groups hired by our Department of Defense to go and perform stability operations, that thing I was mentioning the day after the revolution, that kind of thing.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, everything is the opposite when you're talking about the U.S. government. So a stability operation is a destabilizing operation.
Absolutely. They put a gun in your face and they tell you, shut up, we're revamping your government, everything will be fine, you do what we say and nobody gets hurt. So the founders of the CNP, the Council for National Policy, stated that they were seeking to create a Christian conservative alternative to the liberalism of the Council on Foreign Relations. So think about this, folks. You've got the trunk of a tree, and this is a very simplistic example. I understand that it's more complex than that, and I know that you know that. But for argument's sake, this is a very simple explanation, so you can get a visual of what I'm talking about and for what they are created for, so you understand. The trunk of the tree is the guys running the show. On the left, for the blue team, they have the CFR and all of the sub-branches and sub-branches of sub-branches and sub-branches of sub-branches of sub-branches, and on it goes. And then on the right, for the red team, you have the CNP. And that branch extends out, and branches extend from that, and on it goes. So what you have here is the left-right paradigm in the United States. What you have here is the red team and the blue team, the donkeys and the elephants. This is the two factions that control the ideology of the left-right paradigm. Now, the reason why this is so important to the alternative movement and to the truth movement and to the constitutional, the patriot, whatever you want to call it, even the Tea Party patriots, anarchists or libertarians, you want to listen to this. Let's go over the members of the CNP. And this is a lengthy list. And Vinny, if you want to stop me at any point to discuss any of these people, just stop me, because it is a lengthy list. And this is just what I have found. I am still looking into this. I've been looking for the last 4 weeks. And I've got so much information, it's incredible. So these are the names of the people that I've found so far. Are you ready?
You betcha.
All right. Richard Allen, National Security Advisor under Reagan. John Ashcroft, former U.S. Attorney General.
The man who became the Attorney General and the representative for his state because he ran against a guy who died.
Yes. So Clay Aiken had that, that happened to him.
Are we talking Clay Aiken the singer, or is it just coincidentally another faggy looking politician?
No, it is. It's American Idol. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, his opponent passed away, so he got the nomination, and he won.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense.
Steve Baldwin, who has no ties to the Baldwin brothers or the Baldwin family. He's the head of the council, the CEO and the president current of the Council for National Policy.
He's not by chance bald?
No, he's not.
Baldwin and name only? Okay. Continue.
No. It would be funny if... Never mind. Gary Bauer, who is from Family Research Center.
Ahmad, no relation to Jack Bauer of 24.
No. Loosely based.
Although he does torture people to get information out of them. Continue.
allegedly. Ahmad Bajgrove, journalist for the Washington Times. And
Ahmad
Insight-
Bajgrove? I mean, that sounds a lot like a place in India called Ahmad Ganja Grove.
He's a journalist for the Washington Times. And folks, you got to know this. That crazy dude who was coronated as savior of the world, Reverend Sun Myung Moon, he owns the Washington Times. So stop sharing their articles, okay? You're sharing this crazy man's BS from his little feelers called journalists, okay?
His little feelers, you know? Just think of Rich- the little feelers, ladies and gentlemen, you know, like...
Okay. Richard DeVos, co-founder of Amway. James Dobson.
No way.
Yeah. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. James Dobson is a huge evangelical Christian figurehead, very big, written a lot of bestsellers on the New York Times, huge. Jerry Falwell, televangelist. Edwin Fuelner, who is the founder for the Heritage Foundation. There's number two.
Apparently, Jerry Falwell also recovered very quickly from a hip replacement surgery after he fell badly.
Mm. Kevin Gentry, who is a lobbyist for Koch Industries. Larry Klayman, the founder of...
A lobby for Koch Industries? You mean the ones with ties to the CIA that laundered drug money for them, incidentally, from Koch?
They are members of the CNP, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'll get into the agenda of the CNP in just a minute after I finish this list. Larry Klayman, founder of Judicial Watch. That's huge. Larry Klayman is huge in alternative circles.
Yeah.
Wayne LaPierre, spokesman, CEO, and president of the NRA. Huge name. Member of the CNP. Paul Mastriciana, who is the producer of the Clinton Chronicles. This is where we get the Clinton body count. So my question when I saw this was, if this gentleman is a member of the CNP and he produced the Clinton body, the Clinton Chronicles, how accurate could the Clinton body count be?
Well, I think it's actually more a question of whether, of not whether the member talked about the body count, it's whether or not Bill Clinton produced his member.
Dry clean your clothes, ladies. Oliver North, who was part of the Iran-Contra scandal. Ralph Reed, and we'll talk about the Iran-Contra scandal later on. Ralph Reed, former head of the Christian Coalition. Pat Robertson, who is a televangelist and president of Christian Broadcasting Network.
These are basically the big boys of mind control, more or less. They've either got some kind of a flock of brainwashed morons who believe anything that they say, or they are a brainwashed moron and do anything they're told. Write anything they're told to write, et cetera. This is perception management. This is the A team of perception management. This is the Legion of Doom of mind control, meeting together, coronating some dude.
Yes. Now, I'm going to keep going with the list because some of the names are going to... If Larry Klayman and Wayne LaPierre did not shock you, I've got more. Pat Robertson, televangelist. John Sununu, former chief of staff for George H.W. Bush.
Who incidentally makes you go to sleep when he delivers his speeches and be nicknamed Don Snoo Snoo.
And he, George H.W. Bush is also a member of the CNP.
Well, of course.
Of course.
I mean, every cupcake needs its cherry on top.
Oh, geez. Dr. Stanley Monteith, who is a regular on certain alternative radio shows and does a lot of interviews in alternative circles.
He came up with the fluoride deception. He's actually the first person to open my eyes to fluoride. Mm.
I know. It gets worse. Eric Erickson, editor-in-chief for redstate.com. That is huge in libertarian circles. Lewis Berner, who is the managing director for Bain Capital. And by the way, Mitt Romney is a member of the CMP as well.
Eric Erickson reminds me of Chris Christopherson. I don't know why.
If you know that your name is Christopherson, do not name your son Christopher. It's not catchy or witty.
Well, they can make you famous.
Yes, but then you're forced to become famous because everybody laughs that your name is your last name.
I guess so. And I think that would probably harden you from the harsh criticism you'd get from the average douchebag in the music industry.
Probably, because you went through it all throughout your school years from K to 12 in college. Sure, you could definitely tackle Hollywood.
Especially if you're a oncey little maggot who wants to run for the presidency after going on American Idol and going through that grueling process. Continue on with the list.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. John Allison, President and CEO of the Cato Institute. Huge.
Oh, that's huge, man. That's like, there have been all the... There's two stages of climate denial, and one of them's true, as in, let's not tax all resources on life on Earth and kill everybody and take control of their entire inherent right to freedom. And then there's the other mob who are basically the corporate lapdog scumbags who put out the official cigarette science, blah, 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 denying it to make the real protesters look bad. That's the Cato Institute. In one instance, only one. They do lots of other stuff, but yes.
They're a member of the CNP. It makes sense then. Fred Barnes, executive editor of the Weekly Standard. Steve Green, president of Hobby Lobby Stores. And you're going to want to remember his name. Write it down if you have to, because I'm going to talk about him later in connection to the Las Vegas shooting.
So cannabis users out there, just remember Steve Green. I think it'll be easy for you.
Jim DeMint, who is the president-elect of the Heritage Foundation. That makes three.
Mint, there's another thing that's green. You can remember that too, Stoner.
Michael Medved, who is a syndicated talk show host and New York Times bestselling author.
Medved? It sounds like some kind of a, I don't know, like an injection that you would receive directly into your skull sort of thing. Like in an emergency condition when you've just started to learn how to think to yourself and they need to drug you in a particular way that just destroys that part of the brain.
Right.
Is that sort of what his job is?
When I explain what the purpose of the CNP is and what they are doing and how they're doing it, that would make complete sense.
Yeah.
Kentucky okay. Senator Rand Paul.
Ah, yeah. Now my starts to make a lot more sense.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Pat Buchanan. Eric Prince, founder of Blackwater. Where am I? Christopher Ruddy, chief executor of Newsmax Media. Newsmax.com is just as reliable as the Washington Times.
That's because it's rudderless.
Because it's CNP riddled.
It's morally rudderless. That's what it is. And it incidentally has a guy named Ruddle something on it.
Yes, exactly. Mark Levin, who is huge. He's a constitutional attorney. He is the host of the Mark Levin Show. He's a New York Times bestseller. He's on many, many, many radio shows and does appearances on news and as an expert. Huge, yeah. In patriot and libertarian circles.
Mark Levin, the Mark Levin Show. Man. Doesn't he just like, hate those egotistical freaks that like name a show after themselves? By the way, we've got to go to a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Please go there as soon as you can and sign up for a regular monthly donation-y thingy of about $5 or $10 or whatever you feel like you can afford or not, and we will stay on the air, you know, and keep producing lots of content with incredibly interesting information like the kind Suzanne is capable of bringing out because of her investigative journalism abilities previously as a paralegal, which is twice as powerful as a single legal, because there's two of them because they're paralegals. And we'll be right back at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. God, that was a terrible joke. Right. Sorry about that.
It was funny. Yeah. No, it was good.
Okay. Everybody thinks they're bad. No. Okay. We're going to break. We'll be right back, Liz.
Absolutely. Danger!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the most deadly serious 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. It's very, very true, isn't it? Now, with my very special guest, Suzanne Posel from the USIndependent.com and OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com, and there's all sorts of other links and everything like that, but basically, just go and Google Suzanne Posel, you know, through preferably through your NSA-operated watchlist search engine so that she gets lots more hits from them spying on her website and allegedly trying to take it down. Anyway, we're going through a list of a whole bunch of people. What's it called? The NPR? I forget. I'm so terrible with specifics. That's why I'm a radio show host, because you don't actually need to know anything in order to be a radio show host. Believe me, it's a self... what's it called? A self-evident truth. That radio show hosts really don't know what they're talking about. And I might be one of the only ones who's actually prepared to admit it and call us out on our BS. So, Suzanne, yes, continue.
It's the Council for National Policy.
Aye.
And I'm still going through the list of people that I found. And I'm sure that there are more. But these are the people that I found so far. And we talked about Mark Levin. We talked about Larry Klayman from Judicial Watch and the president of the Cato Institute, and Steve Green from Hobby Lobby Stores. Andrew Breitbart was also a member of the CNP, which I find very interesting, because wasn't he Breitbarted?
Yep. He was a bright spark that got Breitbarted.
I'm curious if they killed their own.
Well, of course you do. You can't run a mafia organization to brainwash and enslave and kill people without having the extra added benefit of being able to kill off your own members if they try to get in the way of the plan. Because nobody could get in the way of the plan better than somebody from the inside. Because as everybody knows, there is no defense against an inside job.
That's true. But what if they created the inside? They created it, and they didn't infiltrate, because you can't infiltrate something you created. And I'll get into that. But let me continue with the list. Michelle Bachmann, who is a House representative, she's interesting because for the last 2 years, she was complaining when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State about an aide that Hillary Clinton had whose mother and two brothers were members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And Michelle Bachmann was talking about how the Muslim Brotherhood had infiltrated the Obama administration through this woman. So she's a member of the CNP. That's very interesting. John R. Bolton, who is now he appears as a consultant on Fox News. He was also part of our government. He's spoken at Senate hearings in favor of things like...
Extraordinary rendition, just like Michael Bolton?
No. But he's got one of those wiggly mustaches, kind of like from the 1920s or something, like a barber.
Yeah. Like a Marx Brothers mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy sounds deeply sexual.
Absolutely. Michael Steele, who is the chairman for the National Republican Committee, the NRC. That's it. That's where we get the candidate from, the NRC. And he's on the Council for National Policy. John McCain, Senator John McCain.
Ah, McCain, you've done it again.
Yes. Now, John McCain is interesting because... John McCain is on the board of the International Republican Institute that I was talking about before.
Mm.
So let's talk about the International Republican Institute now. Because, like I said, they are responsible for every manufactured revolution, including the one that is trying to happen here in the United States. And John McCain is on their board of directors. And he has been seen with members of the opposition in Syria in pictures. He likes to take pictures with with the heads of these fake, basically mercenary, fake opposition groups like the Free Syrian Army and the opposition in the Ukraine, the neo-Nazi opposition in the Ukraine. He was seen with the leaders of the opposition in Egypt in pictures. So the International Republican Institute, like I said, I asked myself that question 2 years ago. Why does the Republican Party want to manufacture revolutions? Why do they want that? Well, what the International Republican Institute did in 1998 to 2003 was monitor and watch and actually get into the inner circle of the alleged nameless faceless group named OPTOR. And OPTOR was fostering and quite successful in implementing a nonviolent revolution. And so what the IRI did was they sent their guys in there to find out what they were doing, how they were doing it, and monitor. They did not infiltrate. They just watched and took notes. And on my website, if you look up nonviolent revolution or manufactured revolutions, at the bottom of that article, you can watch the 52-minute documentary of what I'm talking about right now from the International Republican Institute themselves. They were so proud. It's called How to Start a Revolution. If you want to put that in Google, you can find it for yourself. This comes from Gene Sharp. Gene Sharp wrote a book in, or a thesis in 1973, which later became a book. From Dictatorship to Democracy, a Conceptual Framework for Liberation. And this is 198 Ways to Topple Your Government Using Nonviolent Resistance, using the icon of the fist and the peace sign to signal other members or to let people know that, that this is that particular quote-unquote grassroots revolution, to use colors like the yellow and the red and the green revolutions, to place women and children or pregnant women up at the front of the protest, because back in the 90s, police officers were not doing what they're doing to women now. So it was a way to demand that there be peace. And if anything did happen, it was going to happen to women and children up at the front. It wasn't going to happen to the men standing behind them. I don't know. We've heard that.
Whoa, hold on. We saw this happen at the Bundy Ranch, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And I'm going to get into the Bundy Ranch because I can tie the Bundy Ranch back to the CNP as well.
Absolutely. Always a connection. Anything that gets really, really big. All right. There's never been so much as a massive media spectacle about you or I or many of the other people that we've interviewed or topics that we've done exposés on and things of that nature. There's never been like month-long frickin' occupations and things of that nature based on that. Is that because the stuff we're not talking about or writing about is important? No. It's because there's some kind of infiltrated scumbaggery within the mainstream media who try to put specific things on your mind to distract you from all of the stuff that you should be putting on it instead.
Absolutely. In Serbia, their government was tyrannical. They had every right to want to revolt. They were coerced into using this tactic. And because they were successful, what the IRI did was they took that as a blueprint and have manufactured revolutions everywhere. In Libya, in Syria, they're doing it with the Free Syrian Army. They have the Syrian National Council waiting in the wings, just like they have the National Transitional Council in Libya, which is a de facto organization of heads of terrorists, known terrorist organizations who have a seat at the UN. So technically, if you want to have that conversation with someone, you can pull that out of your hat. There are terrorists, literal terrorists, who sit at this at the UN and help make decisions.
Well, here's the thing. I think the brainwashing globally runs really, really deep. And all the people who think that their own governments are corrupt and that there's corrupt bankers and so on and so forth, they get to the point where they still believe in this great, wonderful, nice, loving, caring organization called the United Nations, even though they themselves would be abhorred by what the United Nations has done over the sea. They're actually implicated in a huge quantity of human trafficking worldwide. They have rolled tanks into, like, shanty towns in Haiti and stuff like that, and just open fire indiscriminately, just killing people randomly. there's some crazy frackers working for those people. And you know what the thing is? It really does start at the top. Where did the UN come around from? Don't know. What have you heard of the League of Nations? You know, World War One, set up by the Treaty of Versailles, which was a stage World War One. So it's just a problem reaction solution to get that, and then another problem reaction solution, World War Two. Somebody gets built up, incidentally, on American money, and just speaks German, so people think he's not on side. And then there's a big war, sacrifice millions of their own people and what have you. And then, boom, everybody's in debt. To who? In order to finance their unlimited war against each other at the time? The bankers, who finance both sides. And then, guess who winds up paying for the land that the UN building gets sit on? Oh, that's right. It was John D. Rockefeller or something, wasn't it? And who was the very first Secretary General? Wasn't it a former aficionado of the Nazi Party? Why, yes. Yes, it was. It's not freaking rocket science. There ain't nothing that can go good out of a blending of Nazi ideology with Rockefeller money. I mean, look, if you have an incredibly ugly person, have a child with an incredibly deformed person, the child's not going to be a supermodel. It's just that simple. Not to put on the stress of incredibly ugly or deformed people, which would be insensitive. Not the implication I was looking at going for. I was looking to insult the Nazi corporatist scum that has set up the UN. And not to criticize anybody who uses them as a source and what have you, but you're using a source that was born out of that. And you could argue, oh, well, you know, there's other people in there who are doing a nice job. Well, I'm sure there are. But unfortunately, it doesn't matter how nice the person is at the company, they still have to follow company protocol. And if that dictates that you pass resolutions and say, oh, you're a very naughty boy for killing all those people, and then publishes that widely, and it doesn't make them stop killing people, and meanwhile, they're also themselves off murdering, child trafficking, raping, etc., it doesn't equate any kind of credibility to a serious mind who's unwilling to let their ideology get in their path to the truth. You know, you really got to ditch that and just realize that you've been scammed. I'm sorry. I'm not telling a lot of people something that they don't know already. Some of you might. But it's a very serious realization that I had to come to. And a lot of people should. Anyway. Suzanne?
Let's take us back to the Optor movement and the IRI. So the Optor movement used Gene Sharp's book, From Dictatorship to Democracy, and was successful. And the IRI watched their success and has manufactured all of the revolutions based on the blueprint from dictatorship to democracy. And for doing so, Gene Sharp has been given a very cushy job as the founder of the Albert Einstein Institute, who has on their board members the Ford Foundation and the Rand Corporation, the International Republican Institute, and the National Endowment for Democracy. The National Endowment for Democracy is where Congress funnels taxpayer money into funding for the International Republican Institute to pursue these manufactured revolutions all over the world. So if you want to know who's paying for that, it's Americans are paying for this. When I
just
realized,
like American money was being given to the setup of the Third Reich and the build up to World War II.
Yes. Well, when I realized, let me go back to their mission. Okay, they were set up to be the conservative alternative Christian conservative alternative to the liberalism of the Council on Foreign Relations, and in their mission statement, they say that they want to, quote, acquaint our membership with those in positions of leadership in our nation in order that mutual respect be fostered. to encourage the exchange of information concerning the methodology of working within the system to promote their values and ends sought by their individual members. Do you understand what that means? That means that they lobby, take out to dinner, show up at the kid's birthday party with the people who are in positions of leadership in the United States, which includes members of government, which includes heads of corporation, which includes philanthropists, which includes anyone who is in a position of influence and power to get their agenda through using the methodology of working within the system to promote their values and their ends. Sought by the individual members, the members that I was just reading off, the three members of the Heritage Foundation, Tim LaHaye, Larry Klayman, Wayne LaPierre, Mark Levin, Paul Craig Roberts, Jerome Corsi, Orly Tates. Jerome Corsi and Orly Tates and Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, are huge in the birther movement. And Jerome Corsi and Orly Tates are members of the CNP. What I'm trying to get you to understand, underlying everything I'm going to tell you today, is what we've been told about the perspective of what has actually happened is coming out of the mouths of members of the CNP, whose goal is to push the United States as far right as humanly possible. They are actually a secret society. They're actually a secret organization. Bélanne Visconti, who is a member of the CMP, was quoted in the early 2000s as saying that the views discussed here among those that you will now see on television and when you open your newspapers. We meet secretly 3 times a year, and members are strongly discouraged from speaking to the press about issues covered at the events or that they even attended a CNP meeting. We don't know where they meet. It's not like the Bilderberg Group. We don't know where they meet. We know that they meet 3 times a year because one of their members said so. But they actually hold real secret meetings in undisclosed locations for confidential conferences to strategize about how to turn the country to the right, as far right as humanly possible. Now, this is dangerous because they have their hands in manufacturing revolutions all over the world. And this is dangerous because here in the United States, the only thing that alternative audiences and members of alternative media can talk about, including libertarians and Tea Party patriots, is revolution. Operation American Spring was supposed to be, thank God it flopped, but it was supposed to be this huge uprising. And the people who were setting it up were quoted on air as saying that they wanted to unseat members of the House and the Senate and the White House, literally take them out of their offices, drag them out if they had to. This is not what we want, because what happens the day after the revolution that nobody's talking about? Well, let's go back to the other manufactured revolutions. In those countries, you get stability operations with Blackwater and DynCorp. Well, that makes sense because Blackwater is owned by a member of the CNP. Then you get stability. After the stability operations, you get the IMF and the World Bank loaning you money because during the revolution, there was a lot of infrastructure that was destroyed, and it costs probably billions of dollars to reconstruct, which, by the way, as a side note, would be great for the Agenda 21 agenda, because then they could just go on with the megacities and let go of everything else that was destroyed. Let it rot. Who cares? It's going to be allocated for non-human use anyway, just as a side note.
Well, and let's not rule it out altogether, I mean, because in my humble opinion, there's a lot of people out there which I don't really think even classify as human anymore. You know, like, there's no creativity, hardly any intelligence. They're being turned into deltas, more or less.
but there's more of it than you realize. See, what the CFR does for the blue team. Well, absolutely. See, what the CFR does with the blue team and the Hillary Clinton and Anderson Cooper and MSNBC and all those people, Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, that's all blue team. And there's many others that I forgot to mention. I'm sorry. But that's the blue team. The red team has Fox News and Larry Klayman and John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute. He's a member of the CMP as well. They have Rand Paul. They have Senator Ted Cruz, who also is a member of the CNP. Jerome Corsi and Paul Craig Roberts and Stanley Monteith. This is not by accident. Pat Buchanan, who was supported by members of alternative media when he was running for president many years ago. He used to have a show called Crossfire, where he sat as a member of the CNP, along with his co-host, whose name escapes me, as a member of the CFR. So you have the CFR and the CMP chiding each other and having what looks like heated conversations. It's literally all just made up, folks. If the CMP and the CFR sit down and chat and make a television show and celebrities out of it, and we watch it, boy, are we dumb. But you know what? We don't know about the CNP. We know a lot about the CFR. Why do we know about the CFR? Because the guys who are running the CNP tell their talking heads to talk about the CFR and, shh, don't talk about the CNP. The CFR controls all of the puppets that are going on, but the CNP controls all the puppets that I've mentioned. That's a huge problem.
Well, that's why they're so successful, is because they've split off into all these different think tank groups and things of that nature, which have all these secret meetings all over the place, which involve very powerful people. And a lot of very powerful people belong to many, many different groups and actually have a much greater overview than others who might be just a member of one. And in so doing, left hand don't know what the right hand's doing, but they're both working together to choke you.
Absolutely. Steve Forbes, member of the CNP. Tim LaHaye's wife, obviously, is a member of the CNP. But this is one that might shock some of your listeners, or you as well. Freedom Fest. Huge. Run by a man named Mark Skozin. Rand Paul spoke in 2013 at Freedom Fest. On their website, they say that they are not affiliated with anyone. They are an independent, nonpartisan, and non-affiliated with any organization or think tank group. However, Skozin is a member of the CNP, so that's not possible. He frequently speaks at their meetings and writes articles for the CNP while being the producer of Freedom Fest, which is billed as, quote, the world's largest gathering of free minds on liberty. That doesn't even make any sense. The CNP is a propaganda-driven organization for the right. How is he giving anyone that attends their Freedom Fest or shows up to speak at Freedom Fest, they do not have liberty in mind. Or maybe their definition of liberty is different than mine. Maybe it's just right, conservative, right-wing Christian ideology that's free and everyone else doesn't deserve freedom. I don't know. But it is not a independent, nonpartisan, non-affiliated organization. They are absolutely affiliated with the CNP. And of course, Rand Paul goes and speaks there. Sarah Palin is another member of the CNP. We have a House Representative, Jim Jordan, who's a member of the CNP. Like I was talking about with Mitt Romney, he just recently had a little mixer for members of the CNP to meet with five GOP presidential hopefuls, hoping to get them some campaign and financial support. 300 people showed up. One of the gentlemen who showed up was Joe Scarborough, who is a former Republican congressman and now a broadcaster for MSNBC. He is hooked up with the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. These people on their board of directors are dripping in the CNP. One of the most impressive was T. Kenneth Cribb, who used to be a former advisor to President Reagan. See, when Reagan came into office, the CNP came into existence. And they have been idolizing the Reagan years ever since and returning back to it. And I think the Clinton years and the Obama years are like a hiccup to them.
This whole debacle sounds like an episode of American Dad.
It is insane that they have their hands in the people that I mentioned here are not people that are unknown in alternative circles. They are some of the most respected and well-known people in alternative circles. And what they say is coming out of the CMP's mouth. They're the talking head. Larry Klayman just filed a lawsuit and lost, unfortunately. But I don't know. Is it unfortunate? Because he's a member of the CNP. And this lawsuit was against the NSA for spying on everyone's personal data through emails and trunk identifiers and all the metadata that they were stealing. But he's a member of the CNP.
Yeah, so and don't let the label confuse you, ladies and gentlemen. If they're stealing metadata, it doesn't mean that the data they're stealing doesn't matter.
Exactly. Actually, it's everything, because we use computers. We use digital communications for everything. It doesn't matter what search engine you're looking at, they track them all. So whatever you feel most comfortable with.
Yeah, they're kind of like Pokemon. You got to track them all.
Exactly. So let's go to the Las Vegas shooting. Because it became really huge in alternative circles, martyring Alex Jones, that he was being implicated in somehow coercing or radicalizing Jared and Amanda Miller, who killed two police officers at a food court in a mall, put a Don't Tread on Me emblem and a swastika and a card that said that this was the beginning of the revolution. They went on.
Did
to
you say
Walmart.
A swatch sticker? Like, why yeah. would they be advertising a swatch?
No, we're going back to Nazis.
I totally had that the wrong way. Continue.
Nobody's seen a swatch watch since the 80s.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess it's because they weren't that well synchronized. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Go to the homepage and check out our sponsors, including now Ditch the Can. So if you want your energy drink and you actually don't want to, you know, have all that waste and all the sugar and all the poisonous crap that goes with it, you can check that stuff out. And you can get like $20 for a big box if it suits your way and whatnot. It's pretty fabulous. We'll be right back. Number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and the USI.com. The USIndependent.com is actually the correct nomenclature, and not to be confused with its Mexican branch, USA. Pronounce USA. So we're talking about these Republican mind control experts. Many of them are top members of the Truth Movement. And indeed, to be a top member of the Truth Movement, you need to be passed around a rather large number of networks and also the largest hosts within those networks. And what it appears to me as a scale of high-level involvement and a massive permeation, particularly among the American populace, into this kind of talk radio ideology, etc., that is set aside by these fracks. Now, that's terrifying, because it means that what we think is the truth movement isn't. They're actually a bunch of... They're a secondary bunch of mind control goons. They're ones who believe that they're not under mind control, just like the rest of the population. It's like, no. You learn to think for yourself and in and of itself entirely. Base it only on truth. Then you know you're not under mind control, because you've actually got the ability to measure things. And you're not really offended when your beliefs get questioned, and you don't, you know, threaten people and whatnot, and go off on wildly crazy rants about them. Alright? This is the difference between what we call the truth movement and the half-truth movement, ladies and gentlemen. After you realise that everything's a lie and you're a slave, you then get another choice after that. Whether or not you're just going to submit to authority, again, and just say, oh, these guys have got credibility, etc. Oh, these guys have got the most fame. These guys have got the biggest video hits. Then you go after them and you only listen to them? You're under mind control, bro. Sorry. I was under it myself for quite a while. And to be honest, if you didn't go through it, the secondary mind control catch net, and you've made it through to this show, and it hasn't just offended you because of one broadcast that you didn't agree with, and giving you a justification morally to ignore the thousands of other different guests that we interview... People do that, eh? Get offended by one guest on one show, and there's like 300 different guests a year. It's unbelievable, you know. And that's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let your ideology and your emotions get in the way of accepting the truth, even if it's really painful. And believe me, it is. And if you haven't feeling no pain, if you ain't feeling no loss, then you haven't actually discovered any truth. I don't think. Suzanne, welcome back.
Thank you. Let's go into the Las Vegas shooting and Alex Jones and members of the truth movement, whatever you want to call it. The Las Vegas shooting was Amanda and Jared Miller. Jared was a, and Amanda as well, were participants in the Bundy Ranch showdown. Amanda, or rather Jared, was caught on video by a local reporter for NBC interviewing him about if the government and all of the mercenaries who were, you know, allegedly spying on them in the hills with sniper rifles came down and attacked the movement, that Jared Miller was explaining that they would answer violence with violence. Now, when you look at Jared Miller and Amanda Miller's Facebook pages, they are they have liked the NRA, which are members of the CNP, the Heritage Foundation, which is not only members of the CNP, but founding members of the CNP, and Hobby Lobby stores. Remember Steve Green? I told you to remember him. Mm-hmm. When I heard about this shooting, I thought to myself, there's got to be a CMP connection. So besides all of the other, liking a page is not a direct connection, but several years ago in 2004, when Amanda Miller and Jared Miller actually moved to Las Vegas, Amanda went on Facebook and said, quote, I also went to Hobby Lobby down here and met my new boss, and I start work on Monday. Super excited. She worked for a company whose president is a member of the CNP, and she was later part of a shooting by a crazy conspiracy theorist who listens to Alex Jones, and her husband as well. Now, there is a lot of talk about demonization, and I have to take us back in time to 2009 when the Right Wing Extremism Report was given to the Obama administration through DHS and the Office of Government Accountability. And in this report, they talked about how they were going to infiltrate the what was at the time the burgeoning alternative media. It wasn't anything like it looks today. It's been completely altered. And it happens to coincide with 19 years ago, which happens to coincide with when Alex Jones became part of it. Before then, he was on access television and cable access television, rather, and he was doing local radio. Nothing like what we see today. And considering he has a lot of members of the CNP as good friends and supporters and supports their endeavors as well, it's interesting to me. You know, the argument becomes, well, Steve Pachenik is former CFR. He's not current CFR, so he's okay. This gentleman is former CIA, so they're okay. This gentleman is, or this woman is former NSA, so they're okay. I don't know about that. Because I see how the CNP has all of their feelers out. They have all of their people in positions of power in Congress, in the Senate, in corporations, in newspapers. There's a journalist for the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times that writes for these newspapers and is also a longstanding member of the CNP. Senator Ted Cruz, like I mentioned, Tea Party darling. Let me take you on a journey here to explain how these movements are not co-opted, they're created. So Mark Meckler, who is a co-founder and national coordinator for the Tea Party Patriots, as well as Mrs. Jenny Beth Martin, who is a co-founder and national coordinator as well for the Tea Party Patriots, are also members and frequently speak at the CNP, Council for National Policy. Mark Meckler is important because he is the person who took bribe money from the Koch brothers to allow them to infiltrate the Tea Party Patriots. Impossible, folks. Koch Industries is part of the CNP. Mark Meckler is part of the CNP. How can you infiltrate your own movement? You created it. So that was a lie. Now, what Mark Meckler has gone on to is the Convention of the States Project, which in the United States is huge, and there's lots of spinoffs. And what they want is to use Article 5 to go in and start making some changes, some real changes to our Constitution, not just amendments, but actual changes and reworking of our U.S. Constitution. So members of the CNP want to change our U.S. Constitution. Members of the CNP, like John McCain, co-wrote the NDAA. Members of the CNP are part of the manufactured revolutions. Members of the CNP are in the Tea Party Patriots, the Liberty Movement, the Alternative Movement, and they're directing traffic. They're telling you how to think, what to look for, what to buy. You know, some of them are selling you liberty. It costs somewhere between $25 and $2,000. And I'm not joking. And there's millions of products that you can buy, and there's lots of reasons to pony up on this, that, and the other. But when Wayne LaPierre, who is the CEO and president of the NRA, is talking about gun control, and Jared and Amanda Miller, who are long-standing fans of Alex Jones, and these two go and commit a heinous act, which the act in itself causes martyrdom of members of the alternative movement and demonization from the mainstream. These crazy tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists are just shooting people now. And then there's this...
Yeah, that was kind of my first instinct rundown of it, you know.
But how could that be? See, Steve Green is the president.
This is how it could be. First of all... Oh, wait, actually, you have a detailed explanation. I'm just going to tell my assumption, and hopefully you can blow it out of the water. My assumption is there's either A, somebody behind it, and it's a deliberate thing, or B, it's just like every other part of our society. Within every single sector, there are freaking nutbags, you know? And they really do go freaking crazy. It's like somebody jumped off a building because he thought he could fly on acid or something like that. It's not, oh, acid's bad, i.e. the truth movement's bad because of these crazy conspiracy theorists. It's another moron down. Thank goodness for that.
Well, however, what we have here is
a little bit different, I have seen.
I'm sorry. What we have here is the president of Hobby Lobby Stores is employing through his company a woman who ends up in a shooting on behalf of the Liberty Movement. This is not coincidence. And it's not like she just moved there. They moved there in 2004. They were living in Las Vegas for a long time.
I have a question. Were there any votes in any way related to gun control or freedom of speech or something of that nature being passed around that time or in the House or something like that?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Something totally random. No news stories on the back of it. Or is it just like, because I've seen a lot of these types of shootings and the demonizations of the truth movement. And there was another shooting a while back and they tried to pin it on the free man movement, you know, free man on the land people. And it's just, there's usually either it's coincidental, like they have a really great sense of timing, or it's just part of the general catalogue that they try to run through the media on a regular basis to hype fear and shape the public perception of a particular caste of people.
Well, the CNP, one of their agendas is to radicalize a member or a sect of their organization or their members, their constituents, if you want to call them, to fight a revolution. And that is what Jared and Amanda Miller is part of. Unfortunately, these two were radicalized and believed what they believed to the extent that they committed murder. And it's not a demonization of anyone in the truth movement because those people are in on it. Amanda Miller and Jared Miller are victims. Because they, for whatever psychological reason, believed what they believed to the extent that they did what they did. And the demonization is on purpose because it suits the agenda of the radicalization here in the United States.
One like Rahm Emanuel said, you can't, what was he, the White House science czar or something? He said you can't waste a crisis.
Yeah, you can't let a good crisis go to waste. Here's something that...
Normally, when you're doing your grammar and you're reading through things, you've got to mind your P's and Q's. Now you've also got to mind the CNP too.
Exactly.
And you know, we were talking about like Mark Meckler, and it was like, Mark Meckler, it sounds like some kind of a mafia nickname, you know, like Lefty Two Guns.
Mark Meckler is the head of the project, the Convention of the States project. Mark Meckler had a representative from his organization, Ernest Lee, infiltrate the Truckers to Shut Down America, which was then renamed the Ride for the Constitution.
Why does Meckler sound so much like Mengele to me?
A member of the CNP sent out one of his best people, and he praises him on the website, as being one of the best representatives to talk to the truckers about the Convention of the States project. Is then Mark Meckler, Jared and Amanda Miller are on the Bundy Ranch. And the Bundy Ranch did not become violent until all of a sudden it was violent. And
this is news to me.
Cliven Bundy, two days after the incident that was half recorded, the beginning of it was never shown to the public. The videotape starts from the middle and goes to the end, and it shows dogs and tasers and protesters arguing and fighting with the BLM.
But let me guess, 2 days later, those protesters were the provocateurs of it.
Well, 2 days later, Cliven Bundy was quoted in the Las Vegas local papers as saying that before then there was never a violent altercation with the BLM. But with the BLM and the violent altercation came the call for militia members.
Well, that came from one person specifically, didn't it?
Came from one person. And within 24 hours, they responded. Organizations like Oath Keepers. Now, I want to talk about Larry...
Suzanne, this is starting to come into like real scope for me now. Because we're talking about the... Okay. Let me just see if I've got this straight. The leadership cast of the truth movement, all the ones who look the most official, have their own big studios, big sponsors, and things of that nature, millions upon millions of listeners, the professional studio sort of look and feel to it, with the coin going through, their own social networking sites, and these massive apparatus that have the ability to project their own information and are using the talents of many, many other people, some of which they don't even pay, in order to get into that position, are in fact basically secondary, if not primary, puppets of organizations like the CNP, who are there specifically to poison the well and pour lies in the ears of otherwise well-intentioned good patriots.
Absolutely. Now, let me explain the militia movement here in the United States, because Larry Pratt, who is the president of Gun Owners for America, is also a longstanding member of the CNP. And remember I talked about the Iran-Contra scandal?
Mm-hmm. Ollie North?
Exactly. So let's go back in time. Yeah. And yes, exactly. Larry Pratt was part of the people who went to the Sandinistas to militarize them and teach them how to be a militia and military tactical operations. And H.L. Hunt, among other philanthropists, so to speak, were supplying the money after the Reagan administration stopped funding it. And there was a whole big to-do, even in the mainstream, with Tom Brokaw talking about how, and Tom Sawyer as well, Diane Sawyer is the name I was thinking, talking about how should our wealthy billionaires or millionaires here in the United States fund civil wars and oppositions or choose sides? Is that legal? And that question was never answered, obviously, because we're still doing it. But Larry Pratt wrote a book in 2009, and I caught a video of a lecture that he did the same year talking about the book. He was on a book tour. And he said that this blueprint for creating militia groups out of the Sandinistas should be and will be used to create militia movements here in the United States, movements like Oath Keepers. So Larry Pratt, speaking in 2009, talking about organized, radicalized militia groups. And these militia members and these groups would be used to fight the revolution here in the United States. So we see Oath Keepers at the Bundy Ranch, and they were later kicked off by the head of the security for Clive and Bundy, who was hired by Clive and Bundy to secure his property.
Hmm. I see kind of what's happening. You have the line of officialdom and then the undercurrent of resistance. And they're both saying kind of diametrically opposed things. And yet, when one little thing starts to resist the big government movement or whatever, then it gives actually the big government the big justification to crack down on everybody, not just the people who are uprising, who are crazy, who are led aside by the same people who are advising the government.
Exactly. See, police state. Okay, everyone in America is talking about police state and the new LRADs and the tanks and all the new outfits that all the police officers have. What we're seeing here, folks, literally, is Larry Pratt's idea coming to fruition and the members of the CNP radicalizing even more. That's why you've got to wake people up. That's why you got to wake up more people. That's why they got to get to critical mass, folks. Okay? Because if they wake up enough people, they know that statistically speaking, if they wake up 10,000 people, then maybe 1,000 of them would actually be motivated to do something. And out of those 1,000, maybe 100 of them are able to join militias and train. And out of that, maybe 10 of those people would actually go out and do something like what Amanda and Jared Miller did. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, they're playing a mind control numbers game, more or less. It's like sending out illusory code through the television set or the radio waves or something of that nature with trigger words embedded in it. And then you get certain people who react to those trigger words and go out and do these things. And I'm not talking about like, oh, it's specifically MK Ultra mind control. I'm talking about how much does somebody live in their own head? How long do they stare at that television without having a single original thought? How long do they listen to that radio show host that keeps ranting and ranting and telling you really scary things? What would happen to your mind? Think about what might happen to 100,000 minds, and then individually have a look at people's backgrounds, mental history, and things of this nature. It's inevitable.
That's what the CNP's job is. See, while the blue team has the CFR and they're spouting out all their rhetoric, the CNP is the red team's CFR. They're spouting out all their rhetoric. And unfortunately, some people take this to the extent that Jared and Amanda Miller do or did. And this is portrayed immediately in alternative circles as martyring the members that are outed as maybe like the suggestion that they radicalize these people in order to do this. The truth of the matter is, when you live in a state of fight or flight and you're constantly being told that you're being poisoned and you're being treated this way and you have to buy these MREs and you have to get these the bunkers underground and you have to prepare for it, get more ammunition, and you can't get ammunition because the DHS is buying up all the ammunition. Listen, the police state is happening because the other side realizes, hey, Larry Pratt's dream came true. And their opposite side, which is the CNP, actually has a viable, or what it would be the beginning stages of a viable army. Do you understand? So they're preparing for it with police state. What we're seeing here, folks, what we'll say in a decade from now was, oh, that was the beginning stage of the fight between the red and the blue. And whoever participates in this, this is not your revolution. This is theirs. And if it's their revolution, if you survive, what do you think is going to happen the day after revolution? Let's go back to the other manufactured revolutions.
It's stability, all the same thing. Yeah.
Stability operations, the IMF and the World Bank, our resources being allocated to collateral, and then a patsy government. You want to destroy the last bastion of liberty in the world? This is how you do it. The CNP has been around for 33 years. For those of you who are into that, it's been 33 years this year.
My ears pricked up right then. I live at number 33. My desk when I bought it at the auction was lot number 33. I said everywhere. Our table when I was flown down by a listener to Wellington to film the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Our table number was 33. So it's every. Anyway, Suzanne, hold that thought. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. And make sure, of course, to check out thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and our fabulous sponsors who are, you know, basically, they're just like you, the listeners that donate. They just want to make sure that the show continues. And they heard that I was in trouble and they showed up and they started sponsoring me. Now, new sponsor being picked up and everything like that. But still, at the end of the day, the vast majority of the capital that comes in to run this little operation, to ensure that scumbaggery keeps getting exposed on a recent basis, is your donations and subscriptions that come in regularly and they keep all those bills paid and everything like that. And you can sign up either through PayPal or if you're in New Zealand, the Kiwi Bank account, which are on the homepage, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There's a couple of books there, The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton, if you want to learn how to make some money. And if you're in the mood for a good novel, there's The Range of Illusion by Bryony Holmes, which is quite nice. And Volcania Consciousness Coffee, who are sponsoring The Vinnie Eastwood Show and The People's Voice in the UK, and they're set up for 100% funding of the Truth Movement from their little organic plantations in Vietnam. That's very nice, as well as the High Tea Cafe. It's just down the road from me in New Lynn, Portage Road, for those of you who live in Auckland, New Zealand. And even if you don't, if you want to get your hands on some damn fine soap, I'm talking better than Tyler Durden can make, you got to get to the Gourmet Soap Kitchen. That stuff is amazing, especially the cinnamon and oat. And don't forget also, ditch the can energy drink. There's a hell of a lot of waste and also aluminium and BPA containing plastic lining that they use on those incredibly deadly energy drinks really ain't that good for you. And this stuff actually really works to replace that horrible stuff, and so that you can, you know, do your incredible, horrible work life and not also have an incredible, horrible disease accrue because you're drinking poison energy drinks as opposed to one that won't poison you. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, with the final segment here. Now, it's been many years, Suzanne, since I last listened to a commentator telling me information that actually gave me a chill up my spine and scared me while they're still speaking. I haven't really been listening to that kind of thing. But this actually really does concern me, primarily because I know that it's happening and I've seen it with my own eyes, and I had, you know, theorized that there could be some kind of a nexus-like scumbaggery at the heart of the so-called truth movement out there to capture up a whole bunch of people, just like how the Satanic Church sets up right next to a Christian evangelist church or something like that. So one thinks, oh, God's not the answer, then they think, obviously, the devil must be. And you gotcha!
One of the groups that they are targeting, the CNP, the Council for National Policy, are Christians. John Hagee, Tim LaHaye, Pat Robertson, even Pat Buchanan, all of the people on Trinity Broadcasting Network, including the gentleman who just passed away, who was the founder, even Joel Osteen, is one degree of separation from the Council for National Policy. And I need to point this out. In all of my research, I have found either direct members or one degree of separation from a member, which means if I had a corporation and I was selling widgets and I had to pay my secretary her salary for the month, I would have to sell a widget, have the purchaser of the widget send the money to my bank account, and then immediately write a check to my secretary. That's one degree of separation. Ron Paul was just endorsing Chris McDaniel, who is connected to the CNP, for the Mississippi State Senate seat that he's held. And he is also connected to the Tea Party Patriots. He is also heavily funded by Chuck Hagel, who is not only a member of the CNP, but also a member of the CFR. And there is some crossover, which means, folks, they don't really care. Only we care. They're all good friends.
Oh, I've got a point here to make as well. Don't let this put you off, like, listening to Patriot Radio and all of that kind of stuff, ladies and gentlemen. All it is just somebody saying this, and do your freaking research. Don't just throw it all out the window and go, oh, it's too hard, basket. I'm just going to bow out of the truth movement and go back in the slave so I can at least drink some great Jack McDaniels whenever the hell I want. No, it's not about that. You have a moral obligation to think for yourself. You have a moral obligation to find out what the hell the truth is, so that if you're contributing to somebody, donating to them, buying their products, signing up to their programs, their forums, etc., make sure that all of your efforts, your psychological energy, etc., whatever the hell, ain't going towards scumbaggery. You know? That's what I try to do. That's incidentally why I don't really join organizations at all. Because that way I can remain independent and not be part of somebody else's BS. And so that way I've got nobody to blame for going in the wrong direction but myself. And I like it that way, because it means I have to take responsibility. Maybe the rest of you should take a lesson from that. And I'm not going to actually be high and mighty. I'm probably a hell of a lot worse and less holier than thou than you could ever conceivably imagine. It's just something that I'm pulling myself up on, and maybe we all better pull ourselves up on it too, if we want to be honest about it. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I've remained independent as well. When I talk to the members of the higher up, if you want to call it, the elite, something is really not right there. And it's about money, and it's about clicks to the website, but it's about getting people to keep coming back for more. Marketing and advertising and sales pitches, even in their monologues and on they go on their radio shows and in their interviews. That's all strategic. It's called neuro-linguistic programming. They actually have counselors, people like Brian Tracy, who speaks to Standard Oil executives and teaches them how to better market to their audience. They know you. They know because you share their articles, and you share specific types of articles. Jared and Amanda Miller shared articles about mass shootings quite often, even though they were members or liked the pages of the NRA and the Heritage Foundation. They were, it appears that they might be obsessed with mass shootings. And as antithetical as what they did would be to the postings on their Facebook pages, the connection with the CNP to both sides of not only the information that they were inundating themselves with, but also where Amanda was employed, makes perfect sense. Because the audience needs to feel like they're part of something. They know that we do this. They understand Gustav Le Bon's crowd psychology, which everyone talks about Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays got all of his information, not from Sigmund Freud, his uncle, from Gustav Le Bon and crowd psychology. And they know how we congregate. We set up groups. They put cookies in your computer, and they know where you go until you get back to their website, where it downloads all the information and re-uploads the cookie. They set up browsers, because you don't want to be tracked by the NSA, and you don't want Google to be tracking you anymore. Well, so they set up browsers.
Isn't there some kind of organization, International Overwatch Awareness or something like that? It's a big think tank, and it's got the all-seeing eye pyramid or something like that, and its goals to collect pretty much all information from everything everywhere. I watched a movie called Paranoia just the other night. Haven't seen this film with Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford?
No.
Spoiler alert for those of you not in the know. They're creating a foldable, digital, everything wallet. All right? All your IDs on it. All your bank accounts. It is your phone. It is your cash. It is your credit card. It is everything. It is your keys. It is everything. And the reason why they're creating this device is because the data that they collect off of it will tell them who everybody is. Because people are going around in a million different directions, doing 100,000 different things, and nobody knows who they are anymore. But we will. Some scary stuff, isn't it?
It is. It is. But there's evidence, if we look, for the two factions who seem to be against each other starting to converge. And that usually happens when everyone, whether it's Fox News or MSNBC, they all start using the same catchphrase. That's when you know they're starting to, the two streams are starting to connect. You know, don't cross the streams, like they said in Ghostbusters. Let me give you an example of this.
See, I heard people say don't cross the streams in the men's room.
Oh, geez, don't do that either. Yucky. Boys are yucky.
Sword all right.
Ah, oh, yuck. Okay,
I'm
anyway.
Sorry. Mother speak. Sorry, I forgot that I was speaking to somebody's mother. Never mind. Moving on.
Okay, let me finish here. We have the NSA, we have Edward Snowden, we have corporations. Corporations responded to the national security letters and allowed private data to go to the NSA. The NSA infiltrated, or, you know, quote unquote infiltrated, telecom corporations and used trunk identifiers to gather metadata, which is also, by the way, how they listen to your conversation in real time while you're talking.
And that's also how they tell which elephant is which at the zoo.
Exactly.
With the trunk identifier.
One of the consequences of this was the tech corporations and the telecom corporations lost customer confidence because of Edward Snowden leaking out the NSA. So this has caused a huge problem for corporations and tech corporations and people like Google, who own most of the fiber optic cable now. Well, Edward Snowden showed up at Reset the Net, which was a conference he set up via Google Hangouts. And he spoke with J.P. Barlow, which is the co-founder of Persona Democracy Forum. And Edward Snowden made some interesting comments. I'll quote him here. Quote, "We're past the point where citizens are entirely dependent on governments to defend our privacy, and we don't have to ask for our privacy. We can take it back. We can do it with our technology applied in new and inventive ways." He implored the developers of apps to develop one NSA-resistant feature to your app and for internet users to try one NSA-resistant privacy tool. These privacy tools are created by Google, Mozilla, Credo Mobile, Reddit, Boing Boing, and DuckDuckGo are also search engines who have joined in and support Reset the Net, which is a way for the corporations to gain back the customer confidence. And I thought it was interesting that Edward Snowden was pushing that agenda, because just a few days before, Admiral Michael Rogers, who is now the director of the NSA and commander of U.S. Cybercom after General Keith Alexander stepped down, he came out to the press and explained that, quote, "Cybersecurity is something that is foundational to the world we live in, and corporations need to own this property, this problem of cyber attacks and data security breaches." What he's saying is the same thing that Edward Snowden was just saying. It's the corporations who are now being given the torch to control and secure and maintain our data, because obviously the government, it can't do a good job. Look at what the NSA did. They poo-pooed all over it. So out of this whole scenario of exposure of PRISM program and other subsequent programs and the NSA's involvement not only with American spying but international spying, we have customer confidence breaking down with the corporations. And they can't afford that, and I mean that literally. They don't want their money to not keep flowing the way that it's flowing. They want it to flow even more if there's any changes, not less. So they're together with Reset the Net, who is supported by Edward Snowden, who's telling you that we need to take back our privacy, and we can if we go along with technology, if we use these NSA-resistant features for our apps on our phones.
So he's basically telling you to put a big... Okay, here's how you resist the enemy. Paint a big target on your back.
Well, see, here's the thing. We've got the Internet of Things with IBM and AT&T. They are setting up all the software and the servers that will be needed to facilitate the connection of everything to everything, that we will have smart buildings and smart roads and smart light fixtures and lamps and even the letter boxes when you go to send out a letter will be smart.
Yeah, and just remember, ladies and gentlemen, in this new world order, everything's the exact opposite of what they tell you it is. So trust me, the buildings are going to be freaking dumb. The smart mailbox is going to be dumb. It's because if you're using it, you're freaking stupid. That's why they say it's smart technology. Because they're trying to convince you that you're so stupid if you ain't got it. And if you believe them, then you are stupid enough to go and purchase it and live in it and whatnot. And if you aren't stupid enough, you'll probably have an NSA blocker program on your phone and you'll be executed long before the smart grid becomes irresistible.
I'll give you another example that just literally happened over the weekend. In fact, I saw some people in alternative media, I won't mention names, saying that because this new group, ISIS, is going to take Baghdad, that we better buy gas because gas prices are going to go up to $7 a gallon here in the United States and that we should all buy gas. Well, I went and looked into ISIS. Now, what I found interesting is they are a splinter group from Al-Qaeda, which, by the way, Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA. Okay? And this group is also made up of rebels from the Free Syrian Army, who is made up of Salafi jihadists who come from Saudi Arabia. Ooh, Saudi Arabia, who's sending guns and ammunition and armory to the Free Syrian Army to fight the proxy war. The funding is the monetary funding and the digital communication funding is coming from the UK and the US.
Yeah.
But Saudi Arabia is literally sending ammunition and guns and whatever armory that they have. And Al-Qaeda is recruiting people out of Turkey at a CIA compound, which is 5 miles from the Syrian border. So they're recruiting young people to come in, get trained as militias, as militants, and then take them over to the border and boom, they're the Free Syrian Army. So our fake terrorist organizations, two of them, now make up this new ISIS. And because of this, they're doing this whole scare that there's scarcity in petrol and you better buy gas. You know what that is? That's marketing. They want a boost in sales.
I want to get Lindsay Williams on and ask what he can dig up about that, because he's been correct with his predictions of oil price changes, and they do happen, but they're not happening because, oh, it's just some fluctuation in the market or some kind of event happened. No, nothing like that. It happens because it's deliberate, because they have a couple of people in the IMF and OPEC and everything setting the price of oil each day. They just make it up.
Yes. And so now you have all the talking heads on CBS and NBC and Fox News. They're all going around. One is the former director of the CIA, Michael Morell. And he told CBS that in 2013, it was predicted that ISIS would become a serious threat to America via Al-Qaeda in Pakistan and Yemen. And he said that, Juan Zarate from CBS News, who is an analyst, just somebody they picked up from off the street. And he says that ISIS is made up of the rebels from Syria. So it's exactly what I just told you. This is all fake. And now they tell you to buy gasoline because they want you to buy gas. That's how quickly they do this. And when you respond emotionally to that, oh my God, I got to fill my tank up, then you just gave them money and they're laughing at you because they're...
Not only that, they can scare you into tricking the market into a price change. Because do you know what makes gas prices go up really quickly? Panic buying. And so they're trying to get you to panic and go and buy it and cause the gas price hike, you frickin' morons.
But this ties right back into the CNP.
I'm insulting my own... I'm sorry. Can I just make a point here? I'm insulting my own audience. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I was kind of referring to like other people who actually fall for the BS, you know.
We don't know about the CNP. I didn't know about the CNP.
Hey, I didn't either.
I do a lot of research.
I'm a moron too.
You've been doing this for 6 years and you've never heard of these people.
Yeah, I mean, in this business, you kind of go by assumption a lot of the time, like assuming
I'm wrong.
But there's
a reason why you've never heard of these people. This is a real secret organization, not like Bilderberg, guys.
Way more secret than the Freemasons.
Yes. Now, it's not a coincidence that John McCain, going back to what you were saying before, with creating a panic, and the example I gave you with ISIS and buying gas and creating a panic...
Wait a second. ISIS, isn't that like some kind of like ancient god? Or
goddess, yes.
Oh, well, there you go. There's your occult connection. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I thought that was cute. The connection with John McCain, who helped write the National Defense Authorization Act, and his hand in the fake revolutions, and creating panic. There's a lot of panic. Why do you think there's so much fear porn and fear-mongering in the alternative movement? Because it works. It gets people all riled up to go do this and that and the other. And, you know, somebody left a picture of President Nixon and John McCain, because John McCain was traded for some terrorists from Iran. And I'm sorry, from the Viet Cong. And the question was it worth it to trade those leaders of the Viet Cong for John McCain, considering what he's done? And I thought to myself, well, Bo Bergdahl has just been traded for, what was it, 7 leaders of Al-Qaeda, which are our guys anyway, guys. Wink, wink. And he comes over here, and do we see him standing in the footsteps of John McCain 20, 30 years from now, that he's a senator for the CNP working and writing some other crazy doctrine like the NDAA and making sure it gets passed? But we have created this, we have this created panic in alternative circles. It is for a reason. It is to get you to do what they want you to do. What do they want you to do? Larry Pratt wanted militias. He got it. They want you to be crazy. They sent out Amanda and Jared Miller to make you look crazy. They wanted you to be scared about gun control through Wayne LaPierre. You went out and bought a bunch of bullets. A lot of people made a lot of money. And then they created scarcity. Because at the same time, the CFR and their friends are gathering up resources too, because they realize the red team actually has the militia. They've got the trained guns. They could actually pull off their revolution. And we're about to get caught in the middle of this huge fight.
Hey, and here's the other element. Even if they didn't cause a revolution, they could fake one with the media and people would believe it, just like War of the Worlds.
Absolutely. Well, sure.
People would be looking out the window, and just birds chirping and everything going on. And then they turn on the radio and, oh, it's the revolution! Oh my God! They've got the nukes on for a child!
It's Oceania. Remember? It's 1984. You're talking about. The war and Oceania and the rebels that nobody ever sees, and everything looks fine where you are, but there's always something going on that we all have to support with nationalism. The Christians are being targeted, and I need to mention that again, because there's a lot of stories going around about how evil the evils that are going on in the Middle East, and Christians are getting beheaded and they're being martyred and they're being set up on crosses and mass murders. The same exact stories were coming out during the Reagan administration when we were battling with Iran. Only the names have changed. It is not a coincidence that the highest level members of the CNP are members of Christian influential circles, members of positions of leadership in our nation. That is not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that some of their people have become people of influence and reverence in alternative circles. It is not a coincidence that we are being told to get ready for the revolution.
Yeah. Well, I say a great... Oh, sorry. Continue.
That we are told that we're going to lose all of our money, that they're coming after us. Look what they're doing to us. And I'm not saying that these things aren't happening. But what I'm saying is when the talking head from an organization like the CNP or the CFR is telling you something, it's for a specific directed purpose. And if more of us turn into Amanda and Jared Miller, they are going to be able to kick off that revolution that they want. And when the survivors of that revolution are counted, we're going to see what happened in the Middle East, in Egypt and Tunisia and Libya happen here. We will see the Ukraine happen here. We will have the stability operations. We will have the lockdowns. We will have the new installed Patsy, and the IMF will finally have control over all of our resources. And if you talk about the rise of the middle class being the next working class, you better believe it.
Yeah.
Because your children are going to be working alongside of you 12 hours a day.
And the other element here is a good bulwark against this, following fake revolutions and getting swept up in the glamour of patriotism and all of that kind of stuff. Don't put people up on a pedestal to the point where you never question anything they say or do. You know? Not a good idea. Sometimes, when those people come tumbling down from those little pedestals that you put them on, you're the one who gets crushed as they tumble down upon you. This is another episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and the fabulous... Like, wow. The tiger kitty of the truth movement, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and the USIndependent.com and RealGorillaMedia.com, of course. And make sure, of course, last final mentions about all the other things and eclectic business that you've got to do to support the show in order to make sure that it continues. And I'm trying to make a habit of this, and I apologize. Normally the show's like totally commercial free, but at the end of the day, some people need to be reminded that there are ways to support the show outside of just giving the clicks and whatnot, because clicks don't pay bills, not as far as I know. Now, unless, of course, it's connected to your credit card or something through that to the PayPal into my account. On the other hand, that does work. It does. Okay, so number of ways to support the show. Number one, most preferable, is start up a regular monthly donation. About $5, or some people do 10. A couple of listeners to actually do $100 a month. You know, it's surprising how much the cost of living is, and running a radio show, going out to protests and gas, and just general exposing scumbaggery can be. So that's why we ask for those regular contributions. There's also a Kiwi Bank account in there, number for the New Zealand listeners. Have a Blue Shield banner on the website too. If you want some nice little frequency stuff that knocks out that annoying EMF radiation that cooks every sperm, every cell, every brain orifice, get yourself a Blue Shield. Really? Really? Get yourself a Blue Shield. There's also a couple of books. The Crowdfunding Revolution, How to Raise Venture Capital Using Social Media. It's actually a really good one, because this is kind of like the future of money making, much like network marketing. Incidentally, there's a Ditch the Can banner on there on our sponsors page, on the homepage, of course. And if you like a good novel, and you'd like to think about, you know, things a little bit more deeply, The Range of Illusion by Brian E. Holmes, or B. Holmes, as it is there on the homepage. It's quite good, I hear. And Volcania International Consciousness Coffee, the High Tea Cafe, and the Gourmet Soap Kitchen as well. All good sponsors of the show, as well as you, of course, the loyal listeners who, in 5 years of me, full-time, exposing scumbaggery for the goodness of humanity and giving decent people who are telling you the truth that will never get the same platform from the mainstream media. So many people, so many good stories, such amazing interviews that I've had in years and years of the show, thousands upon thousands of hours of the most mind-bendingly awesome talks you'll ever conceive of in your life. And most people don't care enough to click on it and view it. That's kind of frustrating, isn't it? If you share these shows and broadcasts, you can help to alleviate that absolute perplexing cacophony of scumbaggery that is preventing people from the deliverance of the Vinnie Eastwood show. You know, look, I know things are bad. We all do. And if you don't laugh about it, you'll freaking cry. That's it at the end of the day. Suzanne Posel, thank you very much for your time, your expertise, and warning us about this upcoming fake revolution, which, if we can stop it now, we can stop any subsequent fake revolutions. And as we know, this is actually kind of the first time when we're really coming out with it and sort of exposing it and talking about it now. So we've actually got a chance now, ladies and gentlemen, to foment a counter revolution. Okay? The backup to the backup plan. Let's not drop the ball on this one. We'll see you again sometime, folks. Love you.